Hare Krishna. Since we are preparing for Ram Navami, and I have been ordered to speak on Ravan first, then before we enter Ram Navami, we need to first discuss the evil forces. So today we will discuss on Ravan. So this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, chapter entitled Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga. Text number 37. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world." Purport. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or, in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. Wrath is transformed into illusion, and illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. If, therefore, the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss, and the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under this way of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. This inquiry is the beginning of Vedanta Sutras, wherein it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire into the Supreme, and the Supreme is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as Janmad asya yataha mahat itaratas cha, or the origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If, therefore, lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of Lord Ram, exhibited his wrath by burning the golden city of Ravana. But by doing so, he became the greatest devotee of the Lord. Here also in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord induces Arjuna to engage his wrath upon his enemies for the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends instead of our enemies. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatkripatamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyam ishwaram. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine. Namaste Saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschata deshatarine. Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. I seek permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis here so that I can speak on Ramayana. And since we are preparing for our consciousness for the Ram Navami festival, so today is the first of the classes. I think we'll have every weekend class on Ramayana, I think. So today is Ravana. Ravana is representing which anartha? Lust. So Jay Vijay, Lord Vishnu's associates, they came to the material world. So there are six demons, and they came as six demons, and these six demons represent six unwanted things in the heart. Dantavakra, anybody knows? Dantavakra is one. What does it represent? Shishupal, envy. Dantavakra, anger. Kumbhakarna, illusion. Ravana, lust. Hiranyaksha, greed. Hiranyakashipu, pride. So these demons, Jay Vijay came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then they came as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then they came as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And in Kali Yuga they come as Jagai Madai. And Jagai Madai, they contain all the six anarthas. Everything in one. So Ravana, he teaches us the don'ts lesson. Don'ts. Because life is full of choices. Every moment we make a choice. And we get a reaction for the choices we have made in the past. And now the choices we make will determine our future. So Ramayana is filled with characters who made right choices and who made the wrong choices. We have Lakshmana, Bharata, Vibhishan. They made the right choices. And we have Kaikeyi, Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna was also faced with a choice. Maricha, faced with a choice. Made the wrong choice. So even Ravana, he made three wrong choices, which we can learn from, and we can avoid them before we learn the right choices that Vibhishan made or Bharata made, that we'll discuss in future classes. So the first wrong choice is Jai Shri Shriyada Gokulanand Bhagwan ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Hare Krishna. Now, what is one thing we need to advance in bhakti? What do we need every moment, every day? We need enthusiasm. There is something beyond us which we always need, and that is mercy, blessings of others. And one thing we should definitely avoid is curses. Blessings versus curses. Blessings or curses? What do we want? What is our choice? By our actions, by our behavior, we can either attract blessings or curses. And what do you think Ravana attracted? Only curses. And why? Because of his intense pride that I have immunity from everyone. Nobody can kill me. When Brahmaji, he pleased Brahma and asked for benedictions, he asked for immunity from everyone. Gandharvas, Yakshas, heavenly beings. Nobody can kill him. He just didn't ask for immunity from humans and monkeys, because he thought they are so insignificant. Just like, you know, we are not afraid of ants. So Ravana thought, hey, human beings, they can't do anything anyways. So he was convinced that he's invincible. See, what pride. And because of this, pride, completely not wanting any mercy, blessings of anyone. So when you don't seek blessings, you attract curses. Because if you're proud, then you will definitely hurt. You know, sometimes devotees also, when we join, we are very fired up. Prabhupada, Krishna, surrender. But many times what happens, our pride camouflages us surrender. and we disregard, we are very inconsiderate to many people, we speak harshly because we have the best philosophy. And after some years, because the devotees are sincere, Krishna reveals to them that you need blessings. Go back, reconnect to some people. And then they beg forgiveness. Many of our brahmacharis also, we do that, you know. After some years, we go back to our parents, our relatives. Sorry, we hurt you. And we realize, you know, we need mercy. We need blessings of everyone. So youth, in passion, we do things. But our devotees seek blessings. We need blessings. And what did Ravana do? Because of his pride, he just was wandering in the sky. He saw a beautiful apsara. He thought she was an apsara. He said, oh, I can do with some enjoyment. She looks very beautiful at first sight. Let me go and see who she is. And she is alone here in the Himalayan mountains. So he came to her and asked her, who are you, a beautiful woman? Who is your husband? Who is fortunate to embrace you? I would like to enjoy with you. And she was shocked. She said, I am Vedavati. I am the daughter of a sage who is the disciple of Brihaspati, the preceptor of the demigods. And many people have approached me for marriage, but I am determined to marry only Lord Vishnu. I belong to Lord Vishnu. Ravana, he started laughing. Because when he heard the name of Vishnu, who is his enemy, Ravana thought Vishnu is his enemy, he laughed. And he said, no, O beautiful one, you are so fortunate that you are being approached by none other than Ravana. So please, he didn't say please, he demanded that she yield to his advances. And she got angry. She said, leave me alone. And then Ravana started laughing. He became very happy. He said, oh, you are a high-spirited woman. That will give me more enjoyment. So against her desire, he grabbed her hair. As soon as he grabbed her hair, she chanted Om. She was already doing penance for many thousands of years. And she shouted, stop! And then Ravana was held back. And then with her hand, she broke her hair. And Ravana was left with hair in his hand. And then Vedavati said, she screamed at him. She said, you cruel wretch, you defiled me, you touched me. I'm going to give up this body because now it is contaminated by you. And I'll come back and I will be the cause of your death. So Vedavati came back as Mother Sita. So this is the first time, I think you must have attracted other curses also, but this is one of the most in the Valmiki Ramayana, and this is a prominent curse he attracted. Then he said, I don't care. Because he was so proud, then he continued to fly. He had this Pushpak Viman in which he could fly by the speed of his mind, wherever he wished he could go. So as he was flying, suddenly his plane was stopped. And he was wondering, why is it not going? And then he saw who was there. One huge being, but not tall, short, but huge. Yellow complexion. And he had a funny kind of face. So Ravana started laughing. Oh, you monkey? Get out of my way. Why are you stopping my flight? And this personality was none other than Nandi, the guard of Lord Shiva. He said, you're calling me monkey? I curse you that you'll be harassed by a lot of monkeys. So another curse he attracted. And then Nandi said, this place belongs to Lord Shiva. Return back immediately. No humans are allowed in this area. And Ravana said, I am Ravana. Who is this Shiva anyway? I will throw off this mountain. So he went down, he picked up the mountain with the whole mountain, Kailash, he just lifted it. And when he did that, Mother Parvati was sitting next to Lord Shiva and she lost her balance. And she panicked. And Lord Shiva told her, don't panic. This is the proud Ravana. I will soon teach him a lesson. And then Lord Shiva held her and Parvati said, Parvati got angry. She said, this proud, arrogant Ravana will meet his end caused by a woman. Because he is thinking he is so proud that he can make me scared. And then Shiva laughed and Lord Shiva got up and he pressed his toe on the ground and immediately the mountain crushed under Ravana's hands. Ravana with this all his hands. He had 10 heads and how many arms? 20 arms. He lifted the mountain. Couldn't. With all his might. And then his ministers told him, you should flatter Lord Shiva. He is the owner of this Mount Kailash. So then Ravana was he was an opportunist. So he started praying, oh Shiva, help me, because he wanted to get out. For 100 years he prayed. Then finally Lord Shiva appeared before him and said, okay, you know, now you go and next time don't do all this. I'm pleased with you. You offered nice prayers. Immediately Ravana said, if you're pleased with me, give me some weapon. So he took one weapon from Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva smiled. He knew that, you know, he has a taste for battle and he will anyway meet his end soon. So then he went from there. He went and he was flying and then he saw the kingdom of Ayodhya. And that time who was ruling? Ayodhya was the capital of the human beings. The whole planet Earth was governed by King Anaranya, who was the ruler of Ayodhya, whose capital was Ayodhya. And he didn't care for humans. But he said, oh, he is the emperor of the planet. He is the most powerful human. Anyway, let me finish him off. So he came and all the Rakshasas and Ravana attacked Ayodhya. It was a massive battle. Thousands of soldiers were killed. Anaranya was a very powerful warrior. And he also fought valiantly. But Ravana was much more powerful because of the immunity that he had got. And then Anaranya shot 800 arrows at Ravana. And Ravana was covered with all arrows. But somehow he freed himself and took a mace, swirled it, and then with great ferocity he hurled at Anaranya and hit him on the head. And Anaranya fell on the ground, bleeding. And he was now gasping for breath. He was about to leave his body. So Ravana could have allowed him to die, but Ravana went near him and started arrogantly taunting him, making fun of all the human beings, making fun of his prowess. He said, you are the most powerful human being. See, I killed you so easily. And your entire dynasty is useless. It is cursed. And he just kept on deriding King Anaranya. And Anaranya said, oh, cruel Ravan, I am not being killed by you. Death is certain for a warrior in a battlefield. I am dying because I am destined to die. But you are so arrogant. One member of my dynasty, my descendant, will kill you. So that is another curse he attracted. And who was that personality? Lord Ram. Then again, he had no qualms of enjoying other women. He had no regard for any moral codes. Then he went on flying. He said, I want to fight now more. He went to the heavenly planets, but all the heavenly demigods had escaped because they couldn't match him. And some of them could kill Ravana, but they knew that Brahmaji has given him a benediction, so we can't change the universal laws by killing him. So to avoid him, they escaped. And Ravana saw, nobody is here. I want to fight. And then he saw Rambha, one of the most beautiful heavenly apsaras. And he grabbed her and he sought to enjoy her. And Rambha said, no, you are like my father because I am the wife of Nalakuver, who is the son of Kuvera. Kuvera is your brother. So that means I am like your daughter. But Ravana was uncontrollable. His lust was unsatiable. He grabbed her and against her desire, he molested her. And then she went crying to her husband, Nalakuver. And when he heard it was Ravana, he felt helpless. Because he knew, Ravana cannot be confronted by me. So with great pain, he cursed Ravana. He said, whenever you again in your, ever you try to force yourself upon a woman, you would die. Ravana heard this curse. Ravana didn't like to accept this, but he knew that there are some powerful laws in the universe which govern. So he knew that he could die if he forces himself on another woman ever. And he said, there is no need anyways because I am so handsome. Ravana was very attractive. He would wear red dresses. He had huge earrings, dark complexion, very effulgent person and very highly scholarly. Talented. He had a Brahminical origin also. So he said, anyway, the women would fall for me. So there is no need to force myself upon. And I won't take chances. So that's why, you know, sometimes in India, people say, they are so ill-informed. They say, Ravana was so nice. He never raped Sita. He never molested her. But they don't know that Ravana wanted to. But he couldn't. because of fear. In fact, one of his ministers, Prastha, tells him, why don't you forcibly rape Sita? So Ravana says, I want to do that, but I can't. See, he was not a gentleman. There are many scholars. Then one Indian scholar got Sahitya Academy, the highest literary award for glorifying Ravan. That is Kali Yuga, India. And one lady, one girl was asked in an interview, whom do you like to have as brother? She said, I would like to have Ravan as my brother, because Ravan protected his sister, Shurpanka. So, this is modern India, Hare Krishna. So then Rambha's curse, Ravan got got little shaken, but then he was disregarding all moral codes. Then he said, I want to fight. And he searched everywhere, he couldn't find anyone. And whom did he see? Narad Muni. Now, Narad Muni would give good advices. That's what all the demons would think. So Ravan just waved a hand to him, acknowledging his presence. And Narad Muni came to him and said, oh Ravana, you're looking for a fight? What is the use of fighting all these gods and humans? You really want to fight someone, you should go and fight Yamraj. That is the best fight. Because if you kill death, he is a god of death, then there is no problem. He said, yeah, this is a great idea. Narad Muni, you are great. So he went to Yamlok. And he said, now he wanted to challenge Yamraj. Now Yamraj is sitting inside, you know, how to attract Yamraj. So he saw all the Yamdutas are punishing the people who have committed sinful activities. Somebody is being burned, somebody is being lashed. So Ravan went and freed all of them. He started killing the Yamdutas and freeing all those who are being punished. It's not that Ravan was very compassionate on those who are suffering. He knew that if he harasses the Yamdutas, then Yamraj will be attracted. You know, he will come to know. And he will come on the battlefield. And Yamraj came. And who was there with Yamraj? On his right side was time personified. On his left was death. So death and time were with him. And when Yamraj came, Yamraj looked at Ravan and he said, this person, Yamraj could easily kill him. And there was a big fight. And Yamraj picked up his mace and he was about to kill Ravan. And time personified told Yamraj that you please leave him. You know, it's below your dignity to fight such people. I'll finish him off. Yamraj said, no, he has come here to challenge me, I'll kill him. So Yamraj picked up his mace. He was about to hurl at Ravan. And that time Brahmaji appeared, unseen by everyone and heard and seen only by Yamraj. And Brahmaji said, please Yamraj, leave him alone. Because, you know, there are certain universal laws which Yamraj also knows about. They all would be in chaos if you kill him now. He's not supposed to die now. And if he's killed now, then a lot of other universal beings would be crushed and killed. There is a certain balance and harmony in the universe. So leave him alone. His time will come. So Yamraj then said, what is the use of now being here in the battlefield? So he disappeared from that place and he went. And Ravan is watching Yamraj disappear. So he thought Yamraj has escaped. And Ravan became very happy. He said, I have defeated death. So now he became extra proud. He's already proud. He said, I'm invincible because I've got boons from Brahma. And Yamraj has escaped me. So he has escaped. So he came back thinking he is the most glorious and the most powerful warrior. Sometimes, you know, you are disgusted. You don't want to fight someone. You don't want to argue with someone. You don't want to debate. The person thinks, oh, I'm great. He doesn't want to fight me. That's what Ravana thought. So this is Ravana mentality. Attracting curses and not wanting blessings. Of course, as devotees, this appears very gross. And we may think, oh, I'm not like Ravana. I'm not like Duryodhan. But Srimad Bhagavatam classes in the morning are meant, one of the purposes is to also make us realize that there is a Ravana within. There is a Duryodhana within. You know, we also sometimes, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we think, Srila Prabhupada will take me back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has given us the best process. So what we infer, unfortunately, is because I have the best process, I have the best spiritual master, so I am also best. That comes inside our consciousness. And then we disregard others, we talk inconsiderately. Krishna consciousness is sweet. Krishna is very sweet. But we also need the Karela. You know, Like actually prasadam become very tasty when the shukta, the bitter karela and the shukta shabdi comes first. And then that increases the appetite. And in the end the sweet is very tasty. Similarly, as devotees, we need to hear about the Ravana within, about our lust, about our pride. Oh, I am fallen. And then the sweetness of Krishna consciousness will appear very attractive. Like as children, we never liked, my parents, my mother would give me this medicine in the morning when I was, once in a week we had to take this bitter medicine, Kala Megha. And I had to drink that, and that would be like a laxative, and it would clean the system. Very bitter. We never liked it. But she would tell us, once a week you have to take this. Similarly, at least once a week we need to hear and do some introspection and understand that I am fallen, I am proud. Because, as children, as soon as we are born, everybody loves us. You see a child, oh, such a cute child, Hari Bol. So that small baby, as soon as he opens his eyes, he sees he's the center of the world. Everybody is showering praises, love, affection. So he grows up thinking, I need this. So we need to also know I'm insignificant, I'm fallen, like that. So Ravana was gross, so he attracted gross curses. We are a little subtle in our dealings, so we attract subtle curses. In the sense, people may not curse you, but they, devotees sometimes, we hurt someone, they wish, they feel bad. Oh, how did you behave? They don't say anything, they can't do anything, but that is a curse. The sadness that a devotee experiences because of our behavior, that sadness is a curse. And for many devotees, we are living in a world where, things are not black and white. It's a little gray. Sometimes because we are living in an institution also, when we are behaving, we don't know whether I'm behaving like Ravana. Sometimes we have to be strict. These are rules. You can't do this. And somebody gets hurt. So are we attracting curses? No. The whole thing boils down to our attitude. What is my attitude? If my desire is to be a servant, then even if I'm being very strict in following all the rules and regulations, then I won't attract curses. I won't allow my Ravana to be fed. I remember when I was a new bhakta, I had a service and I needed a printout. And during those days, there was only one computer in the temple. This is 98. In our temple, there was only one computer. And I went there asking, I took that in a floppy disk and I said, I want this printout. Oh, sorry. Strict rule, you can't get printout. You'll have to go outside and get printout. I said, no, but I want it by tomorrow morning. And blah, blah, blah. And this senior devotee, the incharge, he said, sorry, you can't get it. And then I said, but Prabhu, I want it. So he said, okay, give me the floppy disk. Can I give it to you by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning? I said, okay. And next day morning he gave me. I thanked him. And then after some time, one of my equals in the ashram who joined along with me, he said, Prabhu, how could you do this? He's a senior devotee. This person has joined 15 years before you. You're making him run around for you? I said, no. I asked him and he gave me a printout from his printer. He said, no, I saw him in the shop, which is 10 minutes walk. And he was there taking printouts. And I also saw these notes, which you wanted it for that particular seva. I saw that and I knew it is for you. So you have engaged him in your service. And I was shocked. He had never told me. This devotee never told me. So I went to him. I said, Prabhu, I'm sorry. You had to go to the shop and get a printout for me. He said, no, I didn't go. Then I said, no, but this Prabhuji saw. But then he said, because you wanted it so badly. I said, but Prabhu, you never told me and you didn't have to do it. You could have told me to go to that shop. But then he said, no, Prabhu, I need your mercy. If you are happy, I'll get some mercy. I said, wow. He followed the rules. He didn't give me a printout from that particular printer and he followed the rules of the temple. But he had a desire to serve and desire to get blessings. So he followed the rules also. And he attracted blessings also. Sometimes you think if you have to follow rules and you can't get blessings. You have to be strict. No. Basically the idea is I'm a servant. I need blessings, I am poor, I need mercy. Because we are living in the I generation, where I am important and we take our dog's admiration of us as a proof that I am wonderful. So we think, I don't need any blessings, I am okay. Actually, there is a whole institute, there is a whole movement. Even materialistic people understand the dangers of pride and living in a world, you know, of attracting curses. There is this Arbinger Institute. They have come out with so much literature on self-deception. They call it as self-deception. How we cheat ourselves by thinking, I am great, I am wonderful. Ravana culture is very predominant. I am wonderful. I don't need anybody else's blessings. I don't need anything. No, that is very dangerous. So Ravana was very talented, extremely talented, wonderful, gifted, but not the right attitude. Talent is excellent, but talent can only take you to a certain point. In fact, talent will breed pride in most cases. It's better not to be highly talented, but have the right attitude. In fact, when Ravana was killed, you know what Mandodari said? Who was Mandodari? Wife of Ravana. When she was next to Ravana's dead body, she said, "You have been killed not by Ram's arrows, but by Sita's tears." Because he hurt her, her tears drowned him. This is a very, very significant point. When the strong exploit the weak, when someone in leadership position misuses his position, or when someone who has position is acting by violating certain sacred principles, then he attracts curses. That's it. So this is the essence of the first lesson, that we cannot be proud. We need to get blessings. Sometimes we think, oh Prabhu, I've been in the movement for so long, you know, I'm safe now. No, Maya will never leave us. Maya is working 24/7, 24 hours to distract us. Maya is not going to say, oh, he's so talented, he's such a nice devotee, he does nice kirtans, nice lectures, he's such a nice manager, so I will not trouble him. No, Maya will trouble you more. Like when Indian cricket team went to Australia in 1948, they are in awe and reverence of Bradman, who was a very great cricket player. So they said, oh, you are going to bowl and play against Bradman. So they were in so much awe and reverence, they bowled very poorly. And Bradman had a good time, he scored a lot of runs. But in real world, this doesn't happen. In our spiritual life, it doesn't happen. Maya is not going to say, oh, he's such an advanced devotee. Hari, bowl. Let us leave him alone. Maya will not. Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds, attentive rounds, every day. And still Maya didn't leave him. Maya came to test him. The prostitute came to test Haridas Thakur. Now we are chanting 16 inattentive sleepy rounds and we are expecting we will not be tested. We will be tested. We need blessings. We can't attract curses. We can't do it on our own. That is the point. Every one of us will face tests. Sometimes, you know what devotees say? Prabhu, I have a very simple service. You know, I just have to do this. I don't need to worry about blessings of everyone. I'm happy in my own small seva and I can keep doing it for my whole life. Sorry. We are in ISKCON. ISKCON is Krishna's perfect arrangement for us to become humble and take shelter of Vaishnavas. You know, we can never think, I don't need anybody else's mercy. I learnt it in a very interesting way once. When I was a new devotee in the ashram, I was given service of prasadam serving. Coordinating the prasadam serving. I thought it was such an easy service, you know. Just stand, see that all the pots are there and everybody gets prasadam. But little did I know that devotees, what happens to them when they see prasadam? They have no shortage of food at home. They are from good families. They eat well. But when they see prasadam, they get into something happens. So, prasadam. So, I'm serving. I'm coordinating. There is sweet rice in the end. Prabhu, some more. And I know, and the kitchen cook has told me, Prabhu, this is all we have. Everybody has to get it. Even those who come late. I said, yeah, they'll all get it. So, first week we served sweet rice. But after the sweet rice got over, 50 devotees came down because they were dancing in the kirtan. They were waiting for the kirtan to end. And when they came, no sweet rice. Prabhu. So then I realized, oh, next week I have to keep prasadam for them. So I had upset the devotees. So next week, the kirtan is still going on. Devotees who had sweet rice, they want second helping. Prabhu, there are devotees, we have to give them. Some of them understand, but you know, some devotees. Prabhu, they want kirtan, they are getting kirtan. We want prasad. So Prabhu, but, so then, cab, what Prabhu, what is there? No, sweet rice should give. Should make more. So all the things come up on, and I felt, oh, I am not pleasing this devotee. I need to please him. I'm not doing my service nicely. So then next week what I did, second round when they would ask, I would smile and give little. I had kept two spoons, one to serve in the first round, the second to serve in the second round, the smaller spoon. And go little. And smile and give little. So there's some devotees caught me. Said, Prabhu, why are you being so diplomatic? You tell us, no? You tell us you don't want to give. Why give little? So then I went to my authority. I said, Prabhu, what do I do? Prabhu said, oh, you should give prasadam, sweet rice. Anybody ask? Prabhu, they ask second helping, third helping. If I don't give, it's an offense, no? He said, yeah, yeah, you should give. It's an offense. But Prabhu, if I give, then the devotees will come late and they don't get prasad. It's an offense, no? That if I don't keep for them. Yeah, yeah, that's an offense. So Prabhu, what should I do? Oh, that's your problem. You manage. And that's when I realized I have been baptized into ISKCON. I have been now put in a situation where you have to take a call. And then I approached one of my friends. I said, Prabhu, I am helpless. You know, I can't. I land up dissatisfying someone. What should I do? Then he gave me an excellent idea. He said, Prabhu, do you really want to please? Do you really want to serve? You ask yourself. Do you really think you are a servant? Krishna will inspire you. So I'm not in this mood of a servant, but on that occasion I did that and it helped me. Krishna gave me the intelligence. And because I thought at that time, because I was new, you know, I had not seen faults in devotees, so I was simple. So I said, I want to please everyone. Krishna, help me. What can I do? And what an idea Krishna gave me. I'm so grateful. What I did on Sunday morning, I went to the head pujari, I requested him, and he gave me Mahaprasad, the sweets, which is offered to the deities. And in small boxes, I kept them. I kept some 10, 15. And I kept in a small bag. And at the overseeing prasadam serving, and again the same, devotees, second helping. And I would say, Prabhu, sorry. So there is no encouragement, no discussion further. So they would go, feeling sad. And I would note, who was that person? Okay. Then another person. So I noted down, oh, 7, 8 devotees were a little dissatisfied. And then after the prasadam was over and they were all leaving, I caught each one of them. Prabhu, sorry, please take this Mahaprasad. So they were happy because, you know, devotees don't have any hang-ups actually. We get stressed. Oh, that's okay, we understand. But they were so happy that I gave them this small prasad. So then I realized it's possible. It's possible to attract blessings of all the devotees if you have a desire. And still if somebody curses you, then you should know it's his problem. We should not purchase others' problem. But from our side, if you have a sincere desire to attract blessings, Krishna will reveal to us how we could do it. So this is one of the most important lessons we can learn from Ravana's personality. He never wanted anybody's blessings. And the second is the choice of, first is the choice of blessings or curses. Second is a choice of love or lust. Ravana personifies lust. Ravana comes out in Ramayana after Shurpanka's pastime. Shurpanka, she wanted Ram, but not Sita. Ravan wanted Sita, but not Ram. But we want both Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. We want to get the Lord's consort. We are like, you know, devotee's mood is like the mood of the Kundina Vasis in Dwarka, when Krishna was going to kidnap Rukmini. Vidarbha. What was the mood of all the residents in Vidarbha? They were looking at Krishna who came. They were saying, Krishna, please take our Rukmini. Let this Shishupal not get married to Rukmini. So they were all in the mood of wanting their Rukmini to get married to Krishna. So devotees want to bring Radha and Krishna together. That is the mood. So Ravana, Shurpanka, they all exact opposite. I want to enjoy. The Lord's energy, Lord's resources is for me. Shurpanka comes to Panchavati, where Ram and Lakshman are there with Sita. She looks at Ram and she's overwhelmed by lust. And she puts on the form of a beautiful woman and she approaches Ram and says, "Who are you, O handsome one? I want to marry you." And Ram says, because he's been asked, he says, "I'm Ram, son of Dasharath." He tells his history. He introduces Lakshman and Sita. And then he asks her, "Who are you? And how come you are such a beautiful woman roaming alone in this dangerous forest? You seem to me a Rakshasi in disguise. Tell me honestly, who are you?" And Shurpanka, she said, "I am Shurpanka." She revealed. In fact, what happened, she was so lusty. She thought she had put on a beautiful form, but actually she was in a hideous, ugly form in front of Ram. She didn't realize that she had not put up a beautiful form. And she looked at Ram and Lakshman and she said, "See, Ram told her, when she told Ram, what she told him was, 'Look at my alluring beauty, O handsome one. See how beautiful I am. I am meant for you. And what is this ugly, deformed wife of yours? Just abandon her. Get married to me. I will finish off both your brother and your wife, and then I will take you to the high mountains where we will enjoy nicely.'" So Ram started laughing because he saw the proposal as a joke. And he decided to joke with her. He said, "You know, if you marry me, you'll have a co-wife. Why don't you marry my younger brother Lakshman? You see, he's alone here. He has not brought his wife. And he's also handsome." And she was so lusty, she didn't care who it was. So she went to Lakshman. "Lakshman, let us enjoy." And Lakshman immediately caught on Ram's joking mood. He understood Ram is joking. So he said, you know, he had put his hand on his bow and he was relaxing. And he said, "If you marry me, you'll have a competitor. Because I'm serving Ram. So you will have to serve Sita. Further, you go back to Ram. Once Ram marries you, he will abandon that weak and old Sita. Don't go to him." So Shurpanka again went to Ram. Then she realized, oh, they are just making fun of me. And then she looked at Ram and said, "This woman is coming between you and me. I'm going to finish her off." So she ran towards Sita. And then Ram and Lakshman realized that Sita is in danger. And Ram immediately loudly screamed, "Stop!" You know, Krishna, Lord's voice is very deep. Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Devotion, one of the qualities of Krishna, his voice is very deep, thunderous. So when Lord Ram roared, she was halted. And then he looked at Lakshman and said, "Lakshman, it's dangerous to joke with cruel people. See how we have put Sita's life in danger? Quickly, stop her. But don't kill her, because she is a woman." So immediately Lakshman drew his sword in an instant. He cut off her nose and ears. And screaming in pain, she ran away. She realized these two are very formidable. They are not ordinary humans. And her nose was cut there. Nose is called in Sanskrit as Nasika. That place is from then on called as Nasik. In honor of Shurpanka's nose. We cut there. And yesterday, Gaur Gopal Prabhu made a nice point. Lakshman was the first ENT surgeon. He cut her nose. Lakshman, Shurpanka went to her brothers, Kara and Dushan. They sent 14 powerful Rakshasas and all of them were killed by Ram. And then Kara Dushan sent 14,000 soldiers. And in 2 hours, Ram killed all of them. And that time Lakshman had kept Sita safe in a cave, and after killing all the 14,000 soldiers, Lakshman brought Sita back to their hermitage, and then Ram and Sita retired to the cave. And Lakshman sat there, keeping a lonely vigil in the night. And next day, when all these 14,000 soldiers were killed, one person managed to escape. You know who he was? Akampana. He was the commander-in-chief of Ravana's army, which was posted at Janasthan. He went to Ravana and said, "My dear Lord, your entire army of 14,000 has been finished in Janasthan." Ravana just roared. He just got up from his throne with a start. He said, "Who dare do this and defy my authority?" And Akampana said, "It is a human being, Ram." Ravan could not believe it. One Rakshasa against 14,000 humans was believable. But one human fighting against 14,000 Rakshasas? He said, "Who is this Ram? Was he accompanied by the demigods?" Akampana realized that my king is not able to understand. Sakampana said, I think I should educate my king now. He said, my dear Lord, this Ram is not an ordinary person. He is so powerful. His arrows are so powerful. When he shoots, he can lift the entire earth with his arrows. He can destroy the heavens, the stars, the sky, the sun, the moon, everything. He can dissolve the whole universe and recreate it again by his power. When Ram was glorified, Ravan got angry. He got up and said, I am going to go and kill this Ram immediately. And Akampana realized, Ravan is no match. So that time Akampana told Ravan, my dear king, please forgive me. You cannot kill Ram. But there is one way. So Ravan then sat down. Because Ravan knew that Akampana is not an ordinary person. See, he is a commander-in-chief. Generally, commander-in-chief of an army is expert in estimating the strength of the enemy. That is the strength of a commander. So if Akampana is saying that you cannot kill Ram, I should take it seriously. So he said, how can I do it? And that time Akampana told him that Ram has a beautiful wife, Sita, whom he has brought to the forest. Otherwise, why would he get her? And he is very attached to her. So if you somehow kidnap her, then Ram would become weak. Or he would die in separation from her. Ravan liked the idea. Because he knew that he remembered Brahma's boon. So what did he do? He went to Maricha, his friend who was living in the Himalayas. And he told him, Maricha, I need your help. Help me kidnap Sita. And what did Maricha say? Maricha became so panicky. He started running up and down. He said, no. When I hear the word Ram, Ra, when I hear the letter Ra, I get scared. Oh, Ravan, who is this enemy who has come in the disguise of your friend and advised you to do this act? Go back. You are sleeping peacefully in Lanka and somebody has come and kicked you on the head. You just enjoy with your wife and let Ram enjoy with his wife Sita there. Don't get into this. So Ravan understood that, oh, Maricha is also saying. So then, you know what Ravan had decided? He decided, all right, maybe some other time in future our paths will meet. So Ravan decided to come back to Lanka and remain peaceful. That was the decision he took. Ramayana says this. But what happened? Next day, any guesses? Shurpanka visited Ravan and she started screaming in the assembly. She fell on the ground, started wailing, rolling on the ground, beating her chest. You impotent king, you cannot protect women. She started saying so many things to him and Ravan got really agitated. And then she said, I was doing all this because I wanted to get that Sita for you. She's so beautiful. She's only meant to be enjoyed by you. And any man who is fortunate to embrace her will experience the highest delight of this creation. So Ravana's lust was incited. Shurpanka was a very cunning woman. She knew that her brother is very lusty and he would do anything to enjoy his lust. So that's when Ravan went again to Maricha and this time he told Maricha, I'm not come to take your opinion, I'm ordering you. And Maricha said, I'm telling you one last time, please go back. And Ravan said, see, you have two choices. Either you do what I say, assume the form of a golden deer and lure Sita away, or you be killed by me right now. And Ravan sat there. And Maricha said, oh Ravan, please kill that person who told you to kidnap Sita, not me. And Ravan just sat there. And Maricha realized he can't do anything. Maricha said, better to be killed by Ram than to be killed by you. So I'll come. And Ravana smiled. He said, oh, now my friend Maricha is speaking. Till now some ghost had possessed you. Come, let us go. Now people may think Maricha, wow, very nice. He wanted to be killed by Ram rather than Ravan. No, that is wrong. He had knowledge about Ram, but he was weak-hearted. He couldn't act on that knowledge. What is the use? He knew that Ram is God. He knew that Ram is powerful. But he followed. He could have been killed by Ravan, no? What is the problem? In service of Ram, he could have been killed by Ravan. Like Jatayu got killed by Ravan, but Jatayu is a hero. Maricha, he could have also. Anyway, that is another story. But Ravan, then we know the whole pastime. Ravan kidnapped Mother Sita. And then, what did he do? You know what was Ravana telling Sita when he threw her at Ashok Vatika? The Ramayana says verses where Ravan is telling her, please accept me, I want to serve you. Ravan wanted to serve Sita. I want to serve you. Accept me. Look at my... When he kidnapped Sita, the way he was glorifying himself. See, oh lady, look at my power. I can lift the earth. I can drink the ocean. I can burn fire and I can kill death. I'm the most powerful man. And Sita was disgusted. She looked at him disdainfully. What a low-class creature. How can you even think? And Ravan kept telling her, oh, you are so beautiful. Brahma must have stopped his creation process after creating you because you are the perfection of creation. Accept my proposal. I will give the whole universe, the whole planet Earth as dowry to your father. So all these proposals he was making to Sita. And then when she refused, what did he say? If you don't agree, you have a few months remaining. I will tell my servants to kill you and I will eat you for my breakfast. That was his love. Ravana's love was he wanted to eat Mother Sita if she didn't accept his proposal. So I love you, but I'll kill you. Like in India, some years ago, one man, he was madly in love with the woman. And she didn't accept him. So what did he do? And she was beautiful. So he got acid and he threw on her face. And her face got completely damaged, disfigured. The two photographs were there in the newspaper. And he said he loved her. What is this love? This is lust. If you really love, you wouldn't harm her. I was coming in the airport. There was a man who had a mobile ringtone of a movie song, Bollywood song. When I heard that two lines, I remembered this is Ravana. That song was, I love you, something like this. But if you don't accept me, that's all right. But you shouldn't accept another man. You know what? Tum mujhe nahi chaogi to koi baat nahi. Tum kisi aur ko chaogi to musibat hogi. Which means, if you don't accept me, that's all right. But if you accept another man, oh, there will be big trouble. And this is a love song. Huh? This is a lover is singing for his beloved. So modern love, modern day love is this. It's actually lust. But it comes as love. Oh, very dangerous. We think we are in love, but we want to harm the person we love. How can that be love? Srila Prabhupada was expert. He could recognize the danger, of lust and love. When Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, they were making the Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. It was all paddy fields there. So they were digging the ground and down below, they saw two snakes. And the Prabhupada heard, Prabhupada said, see, there is sex life even there. So below the ground also there is sex life. And the hippies, he would tell the hippies, oh, you are so renounced, you have left so much opulence, you have left so much riches. You are son of rich parents, you are in America, so much opulence to enjoy and you have renounced, but don't think you are renounced because you are still addicted to sex life. You are still lusty. If you can renounce that is great. You may say, but Prabhu, but lust is there, what to do? Krishna is our protector, Krishna is Madan Mohan. When Jananivas Prabhu told me once that Subhag Maharaj, when he was a young brahmachari, he asked Srila Prabhupada, when will lust go? Srila Prabhupada said, never. So he was discouraged. He didn't say anything. Then another brahmachari came after some time. He said, Srila Prabhupada, when will lust go? Never. So 3-4 different devotees asked Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, never. Then Subhag Maharaj came again and said, Srila Prabhupada, you are saying never. Will lust never go? Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, Gobinda Icha, Krishna's desire. If Krishna desires, then... But what we need to do is, we need to avoid Shurpanka, because Shurpanka is the one who incites lust. And Shurpanka is the modern internet, television, that's the whole world. It awakens our lust. Of course, when Hare Krishna devotees say, we shouldn't watch television, internet is dangerous, people call us fanatic. But there are so many big leaders, management gurus, who have written books and who are getting so many awards. And they have very sophisticated presentations and they advise on less usage of internet and television, and we accept what they say. Oh, nice point. But it's dangerous, actually. Of course, they can be used in Krishna's service, but we should know that essentially these gadgets and apps were not created by devotees. They were created by materialistic people to increase their sense gratification. So essentially that energy will be there. And what happens is, initially, we are innocent. We just get attracted by... Something. It's initially the first First touch of the material energy may be innocent, but the second is deliberate. And then when it is deliberate, and by the third process is, you are a victim. First is innocent, then at least the choice is there. That is the second, when we can deliberate and we can act. But we make a wrong choice at that second moment, and then the third, it's too late. The modes, you know, they take over. Till a certain point, you can say no to lust. But once the modes take over, then you are helpless. It's like going on a cliff. You have a choice to come back. You go, come back, go, come back. But once you are falling down, then you can't do anything. That's how the modes take over. So therefore, we need to be conscious and take shelter of Krishna. The Bhagavatam gives many tools to cope with lust. Asam hare ravanata kila loka tivra. Kapila Dev says, meditating on Krishna's smile, Krishna's laughter, Krishna's eyebrows. So many meditations are given, Krishna's lotus feet. So this is the second principle. What is the first principle? Curses versus blessings. So we want blessings. Second choice is love or lust. And third choice is, do we want to be a servant or a master? Do we want to serve or we want to manipulate? This is the third lesson we could learn. Third choice we could meditate upon. Ravana wanted to manipulate. Ravana manipulated everyone. Maricha. You know, he manipulated his own brother, Kumbhakaran. He knew that Kumbhakaran has been... Kumbhakaran, it was very clear that if he is woken up from his sleep and if he is pushed into a battle, he will die. Ravan knew that. But for winning the war, he used his own brother. And Ravan was advised by who? Not only Sita, not only Vibhishan, even Kumbhakaran advised him against this act. Even Shuka and Sarana, who were his spies, they came back and told Ravan, you should return Sita. And his grandfather told him, return Sita. Mandodari told him, so many people told him. He heard from 20 years, he had 20 years to hear. But he couldn't hear. And then during the war, a very interesting incident happened. In Ramayana, it is explained, Indrajit, at one point of time, he destroyed the entire armed forces of Ram. Only, even Ram and Lakshman were unconscious. Actually, they would have died if there was no timely intervention by Jambavan. Now, this is one of the most amazing leadership lessons from Ramayana. That this is a very interesting situation. Everyone is dead except Sugriva, Jambavan, Hanuman and Vibhishan. Only four of Ram's army are alive. Everyone else is either dead or about to die. And Vibhishan is panicking. He's looking for Ram, Lakshman and Jambavan. Jambavan is also looking. But whom is he looking for? You know this? Jambavan is not looking for Ram and Lakshman. He was saying, is Hanuman alive? I need Hanuman. So Vibhishan asked him, why are you so much desperate for Hanuman? You should be thinking about Ram and Lakshman. He said, no, if Hanuman is alive, then there is still hope for our army. And then Hanuman was there. They met and he told him to get this Sanjeevani medicine from the Himalayas. And when Hanuman bought that, and that was made into a paste, and the fragrance was smelled by Ram and Lakshman and all the monkey soldiers, and they came back to life. All of the, even those who had died, they came back to life. Now, interestingly, the fragrance was there for everyone. But Ravana's army, those who died, they didn't come back to life. Ravana lost thousands of soldiers, but Ram did not lose. You know what is the reason? Valmiki Muni explains what happened in the battlefield. When Ravana's soldiers died, Ravana had a system in the battle that whoever dies, my men, their bodies should be immediately dumped into the ocean. They should not be seen by the enemies, because then the enemy's morale would become stronger to see the dead bodies of my camp. So he threw them all the dead bodies there. Whereas Ram had a system that any monkey soldier dies, their bodies would be kept. Because of that, the fragrance could go to them also, and they came back to life. So Ravan was using his soldiers as a tool. He was manipulating them, so he paid a price. when during the Kargil war in 1998, there was a war in India, India and Pakistan, Kargil war it is called as. That time I remembered this Ramayana culture very much, because Pakistan and India lost a lot of people in the war, and Pakistan lost something like 4,000 soldiers, and India lost just around 500-600. But you know, the government has to release these official statistics. They have to release how many people died. So India released some, and Pakistan was not releasing. Pakistan was waiting for India to release the number. So when India gave the number, I think India gave 850 or something. Pakistan said, we lost 400. Because they wanted to feel that we have won the war. Because the less soldiers die, that means you are winning the war. But it was a lie. And the proof was, there were so many soldiers, Pakistani soldiers who were killed in the war. The dead bodies were there. And Pakistan government military refused to take it back, take those bodies back, saying that they are not our people. And meanwhile in Pakistan, all the people, they are shouting, where are our husbands? They have gone to war. And the government is turning a blind eye. No, 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 we don't have. We have lost only 450 men. And you know what happened? The Indian army flew the Maulvis, the Muslim priests from Delhi in helicopters. Many, many of them. And they would come there to the Kargil area. And there they performed the final rites for all the Pakistani soldiers with full honor, military honor. And they were buried in all Islamic tradition by the Indian army. And Indian army sent a letter to the Pakistan government saying that one of your generals, Sher Khan, he fought very valiantly. He needs to be given the highest military award in your country. So because of Indian government's insistence, that man was given award in Pakistan. See, this is culture of respect is Ayodhya culture, Ram culture, and manipulation using is Ravana, Lanka culture, manipulation. There is a saying, we should use things and love people, but we generally love things and use people. That is our situation now. So therefore, as leaders, very important lesson to learn for devotees, that we need to love devotees, not use them. That is Ravana culture, using them. I remember Niranjan Swami Maharaj said a very beautiful thing. He said, I survived as a devotee because when I joined ISKCON, I never was made to feel I am being used. My temple president was Treya Prabhu, who is a Srila Prabhupada disciple. He said, Treya Prabhu would always see when he would engage me in service, he would see how this would help me come closer to Krishna, rather than see how this service would help him achieve his goals. His first priority was me and my connection to Krishna. So that's why I felt loved. Many times in the name of service, we may think, I need to use him for Krishna's service. But there is I factor. Actually, Jambavan is a great hero in the Ramayana, but nobody talks about him. Jambavan is an ideal leader. It is because of Jambavan that Hanuman flew to Lanka. Hanuman did not know his prowess. Jambavan revealed to him, you are Hanuman, you can fly. But do we hear Jambavan's glories? No. Hanuman is glorified, but who was the one who made Hanuman? Jambavan. And later on, who bought the Sanjeevani? Hanuman. But who did the whole thing in the background? Jambavan told Hanuman, you go and get this medicine. But Jambavan is happy. He didn't say Ram is doing politics. He is glorifying Hanuman. I'm the one. I want credit. No. He was happy. Jambavan was happy to be in the background. This is actually primary greatness. This is leadership. Very, very nice point. Many times we underestimate the role that teachers play, homemakers play, mothers play. They are all gurus. They can inspire such high class service from others, but they may not get glories. Hanuman will always be glorified in the society, and that's natural. Not everybody can do the service which Hanuman did. But there are many who created Hanuman. So if you can't do Herculean things, no problem. You can help others do. That also is a great contribution, isn't it? So like that, let us focus on this. So to conclude, I've gone a little over time, so we'll conclude now. So to conclude, we discussed three very important principles. There is more we could discuss. The first is, these are the three choices we could make in our lives. First is, we want blessings or curses. Second, we choose love or lust. And third, we choose to serve or manipulate. And whatever choices we make, accordingly, we will come closer to Krishna or go away from Krishna. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti. We can actually see Krishna only if we have this attitude of service. Ravana saw Lord Ram, Shishupal saw Krishna, Duryodhan saw Krishna, but they couldn't see. And we have simple devotees who see Krishna in Shaligram Shila. If you see externally, Shaligram Shila is not a beautiful personality. There are devotees who worship Krishna in Varaha form. A boar is not a beautiful animal. But when Krishna comes in any form, devotees are able to recognize. There are devotees who see Krishna's hand in their miseries. So it all depends on our attitude. And it is explained that only when we have this service attitude, we can actually connect to Krishna. Holy names, for example. Ravana, Acharya has explained, Ravana did not actually kidnap Sita. There was Maya Sita. When Ravana was lustily looking at Sita, he was not looking at Sita. That was the illusory Sita. The real Sita had been kept by Ram with fire god. And when Shishupal, Jarasandha, all of them saw Rukmini come out of the temple, they didn't actually see Rukmini. When we have a desire to enjoy, we don't see the Lord and the Lord's internal potency. We see the Maya form. When chanting also, if you have a desire to enjoy, then we are chanting the holy name, but it's not Krishna. When we have a desire to serve, because holy name is not different from Krishna, Hare Krishna, it is Radha Krishna. When we have a desire to serve, then we are in connection with the holy names. Then we are actually in touch with them. We are actually in their association. So if we want to see Krishna, if we want to see Srimati Radharani, then we have to develop the mood of service. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, Ravana, Kumbhakaran, Jarasandha, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, all of them are in which personalities? Jagai Madai. And when Jagai Madai harmed Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya was about to kill them, what did Lord Nityananda say? You will have to kill everyone. Because in Kali Yuga, everybody is Jagai Madai. So instead of killing the Ravana in Kali Yuga, was living in Jagai Madai, what did the Lord do? Lord killed their Ravana propensity through the holy names. This is a very, very important lesson for us. Same Ravana, when he wounded Lakshman, and Lakshman got up and he told Ram, my dear Lord, kill him. Kill this Ravan immediately. And same Ravana, when he came as Madai and he harmed Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill him, and Lord Nityananda said, no, give him holy names. Give him love of Krishna. Madai marite prabhu rakile jagai deva se podila rakta dukha nai pai. Lord Nityananda says, oh, Madai bet me, Jagai protected me, and this bleeding, this is by accident. This is not Madai who is doing it. You give them love of Krishna. But then Lord Chaitanya, can you imagine? Ravan, lust personified, is killed by Ram. And Jagai Madai are personification of lust, greed, envy, anger, pride, illusion, everything. And they are not killed, but their propensities are killed by the holy names of Krishna. And they are given love of Krishna. The lowest, most unqualified people are given the highest. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. This is Srila Prabhupada's movement. That's why Srila Prabhupada writes in 10th Canto Bhagavatam Purport, Krishna has taken birth in the womb of ISKCON. So ISKCON is a place where there is Krishna. And through the holy names we can connect to Krishna. And through service to devotees we can connect to Krishna. So let us, as a preparation for Ram Navami, absorb ourselves in this mood. And take shelter of the holy names of Krishna. And render, aspire to be servant of Vaishnavas. And overcome this Ravana propensity within. And become the servants of Hanuman and all the monkey soldiers who are assisting and trying to get Sita and Ram together. So let us chant Hare Krishna in this mood of giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. నిదాయగోర్ ప్రేమానంది.